Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 53 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Peyton Stewart.
We are here to hear from all of you and what we can do better on a state level, on a federal level.
Ivanka Trump toured the Commonwealth today alongside Governor Matt Bevin.
Music students at Moorhead State University say mold is a big problem at the Baird Music Building.
Two candidates are vying for the clerk seat in Rowan County this November.
A Kentucky native has been hired as the president of the Council on Post-Secondary Education.
A death investigation is underway following a house fire in Martin County.
In sports, Rowan volleyball fell in the first round of the state tournament.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
An 80% chance of rain tonight. Patchy fog with lows around 44 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Ivanka Trump was in Kentucky today to visit job training centers with Governor Matt Bevin. The president's daughter visited the E. Kentucky Advanced Manufacturing Institute in Paintsville, Big Sandy Community and Technical College in Prestonsburg, and Moorhead State University. Trump spoke of the federal effort to support career and technical education.
We've been working on a federal level to ensure that good, positive legislation that block grants money back to the states for career and technical education, such as Perkins, is reauthorized. It was modernized after almost a decade of languishing. So we're really proud of sending resources back to help support great institutions and great schools like we're seeing here.
Trump visited the Space Science Center on Moorhead State's campus to focus on the aerospace industry, which has accounted for $1.5 billion in investment announcements and 2,800 jobs in Kentucky since January 2016. Ivanka serves as an advisor to the president, where she focuses on workforce development, making similar visits to Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina.
Moorhead State University students are concerned with a mold issue in their music hall building. Mold has been an issue at the Baird Music Building since the summer, according to the university. The music students who want to remain anonymous tell WTVQ the situation is frustrating.
And it's really disheartening when you pay thousands and thousands of dollars to be here per semester and you feel like you're not getting the same treatment that other students do.
A graduate assistant for the music department says it's bad enough that students are sick and don't want to be in the building. Responding to the reports, Assistant Vice President for Communications and Marketing, Jamie Hornbuckle, says the school has promptly and aggressively responded every time mold has been reported in the building.
Moorhead State University held a dedication ceremony for the Elmer R. Smith College of Business and Technology during homecoming festivities. A native of Martin County and a graduate of MSU with a degree in business education, Smith is a successful professional who has served in numerous positions within the educational field. He currently serves as the president of Interactive College of Technology in Atlanta, which specializes in computer-based training. Smith says MSU built the foundation to his success.
And I remember in the fall of 1966, coming on campus, and of course the campus was three times bigger than the town we grew up in, and I first thought, I'll never find my way around. But I remember walking into this building and saying to myself, wow, you are really in college.
Smith was inducted into the MSU Alumni Association Hall of Fame in 1999 and to date has donated nearly $4 million to the university. Smith's contributions have been used to create an endowment to provide scholarships for MSU students.
Candidates with more than two decades of experience working in county government are vying for the clerk seat in Rowan County this November. Democrat Elwood Cottle and Republican Kim Davis both claim their experience is what makes each one the best candidate for the position. Davis has worked in the clerk's office for more than 25 years, while Cottle has worked in the property valuation administrator's office for more than 20. During Tuesday night's candidate forum, Cottle said if elected, he intends to recuse himself from elections if he has a challenger for the clerk's race.
But if there is a way that I can get Harper Enterprises to come in and do it, I will not do that. My deputies may register you to vote. My deputies will take you back there. If somebody wants, if I win, 4 years I have an opponent that wants to run against me, then you'll not see me up there registering you, signing you up to vote, and taking your absentee ballots.
Davis says chairing the Board of Elections for the county is one of the clerk's duties.
The sheriff has the option of not serving. He cannot serve when he is running for re-election. But the statute is very clear. It says the clerk may serve or she may not. I feel that I serve you all, my constituents, the best by offering you the knowledge that I have through the election process.
Davis maintains that she was upholding the state constitution when she refused to issue marriage licenses in 2015. Cottle says he intends to uphold all laws if elected. Election day is November 6th.
U.S. Justice Department officials say a new law enforcement strike force is being formed to combat opioid abuse in Appalachia. Assistant Attorney General Brian A. Benzkowski says the Appalachian Regional Prescription Opioid Strike Force will investigate healthcare fraud schemes and prosecute medical professionals and others involved in the illegal distribution of opioids. The Justice Department said yesterday that the strike force will bring together law enforcement and federal prosecutors. Participants will include the FBI, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General. Benzkowski says the suffering caused by opioid abuse has been particularly staggering in Appalachia.
Actor Kelsey Grammer is throwing his support behind Marcy's Law, a referendum to guarantee the rights of crime victims in Kentucky. KNN's Paul Miles reports.
In a newly released TV ad, Kelsey Grammer explains that his father and sister were both murdered.
When my father's killer was released, I found out through the National Enquirer. It seemed like a cruel joke. In my sister's case, I have been allowed a voice in the parole hearings of her killers. But that's not always true in Kentucky.
Last week, a judge ordered election officials not to certify the results of the November referendum, saying the ballot question isn't worded sufficiently for voters. The Kentucky Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers sued to keep Marcy's Law off the ballot. I'm Paul Miles.
A Kentucky native will lead the state's Council on Post-Secondary Education for the first time. The council announced yesterday that Aaron Thompson will be its fourth president. Thompson is currently the council's vice president and chief academic officer. He will begin his new role on November 1st. Thompson is also the first African American to hold the position in the council's 21-year history. Thompson is from Clay County and the son of an illiterate coal miner and a mother who only had an eighth-grade education. He says he was a first-generation high school and college graduate. Former Council President Robert King is retiring after having the job for 10 years.
Bluestone Resources says it's hiring more than 290 workers for its coal mining operations in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Virginia. In West Virginia, the company says new jobs will be created at Keystone Surface Mine and Bishop Surface Mine, which is reopening. Bluestone says it's also looking for miners at its operations in Pike County, Kentucky, and in Wise, Virginia. Jay Justice, who operates the mines for Justice Companies, says workers are being sought to operate all types of machinery. He says the company is looking to hire right away. The company says a new training program for a small number of inexperienced workers is also being initiated.
Kentucky ranks third in the nation for youth obesity. According to the study released Wednesday by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, 19.3% of young people in Kentucky are obese. Jamie Bussell is with the foundation.
That makes Kentucky the third highest amongst all states, and that's in comparison to the 15.8% that's the national rate.
The report finds Kentuckians are more likely to get diabetes, hypertension, and other obesity-related illnesses than the rest of the nation. The two states with higher youth obesity rates than the Commonwealth are Mississippi and West Virginia. We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A death investigation is underway following a house fire in Martin County. It happened around 10:30 Thursday morning on Poplar Fork. Officials tell WYMT when crews responded to the scene and put the fire out, they found a body inside. The person, who has not yet been identified, was pronounced dead at the scene by the coroner. Kentucky State Police say they believe the death was accidental, but have sent the body to Frankfort for an autopsy.
Police in Grayson are investigating a possible arson after a fire ripped through the former Reeves Law Office on Main Street last week. Grayson, Olive Hill, Grand, and Norton branch fire departments were able to save nearby structures, but the Reeves building was a total loss. Grayson Battalion Chief Kyle Morgan says the county has experienced a string of fires recently.
There's been four structures in the last 4 to 6 weeks that has been on fire, that neither had no one living in them, nor did they have power connected to them.
Morgan was unsure if the other three fires were being investigated and said he did not know if they are connected in any way.
The Fayette County Coroner's Office has identified a worker found dead at a construction site in downtown Lexington. The victim was 38-year-old Travis Collins. According to WKYT, Fayette County Coroner Gary Ginn said Collins was working for a local contractor on air conditioning units. Ginn estimates Collins fell approximately 15 feet down an elevator shaft. No one actually saw him fall, but coworkers noticed he was missing before finding him in the shaft. Federal agency OSHA is taking over the death investigation.
A 6th congressional district candidate in Nicholas County has been arrested. LEX 18 reports 75-year-old James Gramalik from Ohio was arrested last night in Carlisle during a candidates' forum. Gramalik reportedly got into a dispute after organizers would not let him display a graphic abortion sign. Gramalik was charged with disorderly conduct. He is currently lodged in the Bourbon County Detention Center.
A man is going to prison for trying to buy a Kentucky child online. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
49-year-old Ernest Anziano was sentenced to 5 years in prison after being found guilty of multiple child sex crimes. The Kentucky Attorney General's office says Anziano tried to solicit sex from an underage child by offering $500 and 7 grams of meth. Anziano, who's also facing criminal charges out of Kansas, will have to register as a lifetime sex offender and must complete a treatment program after his sentence. I'm Haley Hansen.
A Lexington man was arrested after police say he robbed a woman. WTVQ reports 38-year-old Brandon Dobbins is accused of throwing a woman to the ground, implying he had a weapon, and stealing money from her. Police say the incident happened early Wednesday morning. Dobbins, who is employed as a security guard, was arrested that morning.
A missing Laurel County man has been found. According to WYMT, 38-year-old Joseph Binge went missing Wednesday morning while hunting. After a golden alert was issued, crews continued searching for him until this morning, when Binge safely exited the woods around 2:30 a.m.
And just a quick reminder, Morehead State Public Radio's fall fundraiser and membership drive kicks off on Monday. This year, our goal is $15,000 and 200 members. You can get a head start by donating online today. Visit our website, wmky.org, and look for the Support Us tab. When you click on the Pledge Now option, you'll be taken to a secure site to give us your information and make a donation. We thank you in advance for your support of WMKY, Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking a look at the weather, tonight there will be an 80% chance of rain, patchy fog with a low around 44. Saturday, showers likely, patchy fog before 3 p.m. Otherwise, cloudy with a steady temperature around 47. Chance precipitation is 70%. Saturday night, a 60% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Sunday, showers likely mainly after 5 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 59. Chance precipitation is 60%. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg, it is 51. In Maysville, it is 51. In Ashland, it is 54. In Grayson, it is 53. In Inez, it is 56. In Mount Sterling, it is 53. In Lexington, it is 54. And here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 53 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff notices that a metaphor is only as real as we make it, and that goes for blood.
Metaphors abound when people talk about family and ancestry. Family trees, lineage, forebears, and blood. The latter is the oddest of these. Blood? Oh, so much more than a metaphor, but still a metaphor. Lately, blood has become double super important to some people. They are the ones who didn't get the message, the omnipresent crystal clear message. People are not their bodies. People are not their skin. People are not their blood. Individuality obscures all of these. Our greatest leaders, many of whom ended up getting shot for saying so, dare to suggest this. How you look, who bore you, your height, your weight, your appearance, none of these are you. Oh yes, we here at Commentary HQ know about social constructs. We know the case that states that people use physical features as indices of worth, and so we must accept the symbolic, if not the actual reality, of discrimination based on physical features of people. No, I don't accept that. Sorry. It's not logical. A person's appearance, their look, their sound, their hair, their blood, yes, even their blood, are connected to their value and intelligence by racists, insisting that a certain skin, a certain sound, a certain feature of the blood all add up to a higher or lower value is racist. That's why so many people moaned when the senator from the East scurried to prove she had a drop of metaphorical worth. Her claims for special treatment based on reparations needed a foundation, even a metaphorical one. But the claim that X amount of blood purports a form of thinking, valuing, and social contribution, well, that's just plain racist. Just consider the reverse. Consider the lunacy of claiming that because one did not have a drop of blood of a certain type, that one could therefore never understand or contribute to a given group of people. Metaphors are powerful, but they cannot dictate the reality to which they refer. So a drop, a quart, a bucket, it doesn't matter. What is this fixation with metaphors of lineage? What is this twist of thought that allows us believers in people before colors, mind before body, value before presumption, fairness, that allows us to look the other way when people make bald-faced racist claims about the connection of the body, the mind, and the soul? In honor of those who've said something similar in so many ways, the color of her skin and the metaphor of her blood have nothing to do with the quality of her as a person among persons. This is not a naive idealization. For even among those who cling to social constructs that are backward, we can live as if the body were not the mind, and distinctions based on the body need not be minded. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Peyton Stewart, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
The Eagles and the Vikings fall in first round action. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State Soccer Eagles lost to SIU Edwardsville in the first round action of the OVC tournament today with a final score of 2-1 in overtime. The Eagles were 5-13 on the year going into today's game, which started at 2 p.m., but they were 4-6 in conference play. Head coach Warren Lipka said that for the Eagles to come out on top, they would have to be prepared mentally not to get overwhelmed by the stakes of the game.
We know it's now tournament time, and yeah, it's over if you don't win on Friday, but we're not going to let that overcome us and our mentality and our game preparation. But we still play with confidence and play with the game speed that we've been playing with. We need to be tenacious on the defending side. We need to transition well, and we need to go as a group. You know, attack as one, defend as one, win as one.
This was the first postseason appearance for the Eagles since the 2015 season. With the Eagles season now finished, SIU will take on EKU in quarterfinal action on Sunday. The Rowan County volleyball team fell in the first round of the state tournament this afternoon. The Vikings faced off with Greenwood at Valley High School, falling 3-0 to the Lady Gators. Coach Steve Walter says his team was expecting a tough match.
We're going to have to get the lion's share of the breaks. We're going to have to play really well. They're going to have a few mistakes. We're going to go in there and we're going to run a few things, and we're going to try to exploit some of their weaknesses. And the longer that you hang around with those big squads, generally the more pressure they get under.
That ends the season for the Lady Vikings. Greenwood will face off with Mercer tomorrow at Valley High School. Game time is set for 10 a.m. The Morehead State Volleyball Eagles head to Cookeville, Tennessee tonight to take on the Golden Eagles of Tennessee Tech. This will be the second time MSU and Tennessee Tech have met on the court so far this year. Eagles coach Jamie Gordon says he expects their team will be much improved from their first meeting.
I think right now what we're seeing out of them is there's a familiarity now with the new offensive and defensive systems and what that staff is expecting, and it's showing in a lot of great performance by Tennessee Tech. We were fortunate enough the first time to get them at home, and now having to go onto their court is going to be a lot more challenging.
MSU took the first meeting 3-0 on September 22nd. First serve is slated for 8 p.m. tonight. The game can be seen on the OVC Digital Network. Morehead State men's basketball got its first taste of outside competition last night at Johnson Arena, defeating Berea 98-47 in an exhibition matchup. MSU jumped out to a 28-2 lead, but Berea was able to close the deficit by 14 by halftime, outscoring the Eagles 32-10 in the last 11-13 of the first half. Eagles head coach Preston Spradlin says his defense was tested at the end of the half due to lack of intensity.
The biggest thing is I tell the guys, listen, actors perform for the fans, okay? Real players, tough players, they compete for the teammates. And so we got to make sure we get to that, whether you're up 40 points or you're down 40 points. It does not matter. It shouldn't change your mindset, and it certainly doesn't change the way that you're trying to play.
MSU clamped down defensively in the second half, outscoring Berea 50-13 on its way to the win. The Eagles have one more exhibition affair November 6th with the Knights of Kentucky Christian University before opening their season officially November 8th at the 2K Empire Classic when they go on the road to face UConn. Saturday is Donate Life Day at Morehead State Football, and representatives from the Kentucky Organ Donor Affiliates will be on hand to distribute information as well as sign up individuals for organ donation when the Eagles take on Marist. Joe Tenier, father of MSU head coach Rob Tenier, was a kidney transplant recipient. Tenier talks about what organ donation has meant to him.
That's the reason my dad's alive and been able to share in the last, 3-4 years with me and be around to see me become head coach. And he's retired now, and so he's around a lot. And that's been an awful lot to me. And I think, it's important to educate our society and give him back. And I think donating your organs is a tremendous way to do that.
CODA serves 114 counties in Kentucky, 4 counties in southern Indiana, and 2 in western West Virginia. The Eagles and the Red Foxes will kick off from Jane Stadium at 1:05 p.m. tomorrow. That game will be broadcast on ESPN+. Coming off a rough loss on the road at Kansas City last week, the Bengals look to end their 2-game losing streak when they return home Sunday to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa comes into the game off an overtime win over the Cleveland Browns last week. Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis says his defense will have its hands full trying to contain Tampa's big play offense.
They've hit some, a lot of vertical plays, spreading the football around. And then Jameis, both he and Ryan Fitzpatrick, when Fitzy was playing there, they're doing a nice job pushing the ball down the field. And when things break down, they're both athletic enough and elusive enough to run and run for first down. So we got to do a really good job versus that.
Still leading the AFC North after losing 2 in a row, a win over the Buccaneers would be a big boost for Cincinnati heading into the bye week. Kickoff from Paul Brown Stadium is set for 1 p.m. on Sunday. The 6-1 12th-ranked UK Wildcats are gearing up to take on the Missouri Tigers tomorrow on the road. Cats are coming off a 14-7 victory over Vandy, and the Tigers just snapped a three-game losing streak with a 65-33 victory over Memphis. UK will be bringing the league's number 3 rushing game, led by SEC's top rusher, Benny Snell. The unranked Tigers have the league's number 3 passing game, with quarterback Drew Locke keying the production as the conference's third most productive passer. UK quarterback Terry Wilson has thrown for 721 yards and 4 touchdowns, while Locke has thrown almost 2,000 yards and 16 touchdowns. Tomorrow's game starts at 4 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Football hosts Marist at 1:05 p.m. on Saturday. Women's basketball plays Shawnee State in an exhibition game at 6:05 on Monday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell sharply as investors slogged through another volatile session on Wall Street, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 296.24 at 24,688.31. The S&P 500 was down 46.88 at 2658.69, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 151.12 at 7167.21. The NASDAQ, you're a really big loser today on the back of, worse than expected earnings from both Amazon and Alphabet, which, of course, is the parent for Google. Amazon was down almost 8% after the company released its latest quarterly results, and even though earnings and revenue were both up sharply year over year, they came in somewhat below Wall Street expectations. Alphabet shares dropped as much as 5.6% before closing around 2% lower. And again, Google having strong year-over-year earnings and revenue growth, but missing expectations. The declines in these types of tech stocks were enough to offset a better-than-expected report on U.S. economic growth. The Commerce Department reported the U.S. economy grew at a 3.5% rate in the third quarter, above a 3.4% estimate. The government also said its personal consumption expenditures, or PCE index, which is a key measure of inflation for the Federal Reserve, increased by 1.6% last quarter. The major averages did post big losses for the week. The S&P and Dow dropped 3.9% and 3% respectively, and the NASDAQ pulled back 3.8%. Bucking the market trend today was Intel, as the stock was up just over 3% on better-than-expected quarterly earnings. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $67.66 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,235.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak today. The Stock 600 index finished with a loss of 0.75%, and Asia was down as well, with the Shanghai Composite down 0.2%, and the Nikkei average down 0.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Intel and Walgreens, while the worst performers were Home Depot and Cisco. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Roper Technology and Cabot Oil and Gas, while the worst performers were Mohawk Industries and Western Digital. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 47 cents at $65.92, U.S. Bancorp down 37 cents at $50.90, Humana down $3.31 at $3.18.27, Marathon Petroleum down $1.14 at $68.82, AK Steel down 41 cents at $3.81, and Kroger was down 42 cents to finish at $27.58. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Logan Pemberton, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, and Cody Robinson. KNN's Paul Miles and Haley Hansen. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary came from MSU professor John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.